Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is JT, a.k.a. The Master, and as always, this is The Master Plan. We got a great show in store for you today. Talking about starts and six. We're going to play all the games, all of them. Wild Wild West is what we're talking about. My picks that are going to come out of the Wild Wild West, AFC and NFC. Number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. Be right back.
I used to live downtown, 129th Street, Convent. Everything, duck feet, parties. Ball in the park, nothing. But girls at the dark, we chill. Nobody get ill in the place. We cover a hill, but if you try them, that's when they will get wild. But they don't fight, they kill. That's
Wild Wild West. Wild Wild West. Wild Wild West.
I remember parties out in the park with the girlies. Rubbing up in the dark, I was smooth. Till someone pulled the gun, it was over. They spoiled my fun. Like a track star dying. Nah, I ran through the backyard trying to get in my building, saying, why in the heck won't somebody kill them? One day, the fellas got together, they vowed that no one would ever come in our block and terrorize us. The gang that used to do it, now they idolize the guns. We don't like to use them unless our enemies choose them. We prefer to fight you all like a man and beat you down with our hands and body slam you at the
Hello. Yes. It is me. Like I said, this is JT. And we're going to be running down the games this week. Quite naturally, you know who's in the bye. This is the last bye of the season. Week 11, Tennessee, New York Giants, Minnesota, and Seattle are the bye teams. So don't put any of those players that you have. I know you want to play Chris Johnson, maybe Eli Manning, AP, Marshawn Lynch, Sidney Rice, any of the Giants receivers that you have, maybe some of the Tennessee receivers or the Minnesota receivers, whoever, you can't play them because they're not going to play this week. Like I said, I'm going to be running down all the games starting from the Cardinals and the Falcons and ending with the Monday night game, which is the Bears and the 49ers. And let's get right into it, because the fact is, I did say I'm going to give you some players. It's getting slim pickings. I tell you that, but prefacing it right now. It's getting slim pickings for players to pick out week to week. I know I let you guys down last week. I had really loved a player that I thought he was going to excel. He didn't get enough touches. They don't have enough faith in him. I'm talking about Tywon Jones. They don't have enough faith in him yet that he knows where he's supposed to be on each and every play, and also in the blocking schemes, picking up blitz blocking or picking up pass blocking, things like that. So until he gets better at that, he may not get the touches that we would like. I'm telling you, if he does get it straightened out, if he does get his head on right and focuses a little bit more and is able to get on the field on a consistent basis, this is going to be a dynamic player, a very dynamic player. I understand that the coaches are treating him with kid gloves because he has a lot of potential, and he just needs to, in his second year, needs to straighten and get things straight. Hopefully he does. And then we'll go from there. Anyway, like I said, we're going to be going down every game. Before I do that, I gotta address this because it was one of the craziest things that had happened in like the last 5 years, that the number one and two team in college football went down. Kansas State loses to Baylor 55-20, and Oregon loses in overtime to Stanford 17-14. What does that do to the Kansas State quarterback in his Heisman Trophy race? It pushes to the forefront the quarterback from Texas A&M as basically the favorite right now, unless something else happens crazy, unless the linebacker from Notre Dame is in the forefront right now. Is in, you know, but I think the Texas A&M quarterback, they labeled him Johnny Football in Texas A&M because he runs and throws, and he's very prolific. I think he's the first quarterback to do it for 3,000 yards and 1,000 yards rushing, 3,000 passing. So that's a heck of an accomplishment in itself. And he seems to be like the leading contender for the Heisman Trophy. And also, last night, I was watching boxing on HBO. There was two fights that were significant to me. One was Seth Williams against Jonathan Banks. Jonathan Banks used to be he's still here. I mean, but Emmanuel Stewart used to be the trainer up until he passed away of Jonathan Banks, who for the last several years was training partner for the one of the Klitschko brothers. He'd been in the boxing game for about 15 years, and he had a shot at a IAABO, I think that's what they call it, a world title. Who was owned by Seth Williams, a former football player who turned boxer at the age of 25. Second round, TKO. Surprising TKO by Jonathan Banks. Seth Williams had him by about 30 pounds, close to 30 pounds. He was a favorite going into the fight. But Jonathan Banks, with the experience, prevailed in the second round. Williams took the fight, took the round, first round, but Banks, with his experience, saw an opening and capitalized on it and dominated the second round, and the ref stopped the fight, TKO in the second round. The other one was Antonio DeMarco, who had the WBC lightweight championship, versus Andre Bronner, I hope I got his name right, Andre Bronner, who is a small clone of Floyd Mayweather. I guess he took a page out or a couple pages out of Floyd Mayweather. Young kid from Cincinnati, Ohio, trying to emulate, I guess, Or maybe he's not trying to emulate, but it seems like he's trying to emulate. He has a similar defensive style in the ring. It has the flash and the bold and brashness of Mayweather. Won the lightweight championship last night, and in dominating fashion. I think it was in the eighth round, if I'm not mistaken, the TKO. The boxing manager for DeMarco threw in the towel because he saw his boy getting pummeled, and he was getting pummeled. I watched this whole fight, and it was a very dominating fight, I must say. It was in the eighth round. It was a very dominating fight, I must say, that Bronner put on. You still could see that he needs to hone his skills, but in the style of fight that Antonio DeMarco brought him was that he stood right in front of him, didn't move his head, didn't bob and weave, Wasn't too just had that typical Hispanic, especially Mexican, machismo. I'm going to stand in front of you. We're going to go toe-to-toe. And what happened was it didn't work out because Bonna was stronger, a lot quicker, and was better on the defensive side. So Andre Bonner, excuse me, Adrian, the problem Bonner, won that fight handily. Even if it had gone the distance, there would have been no contest. And like I said, he wins the lightweight world title down at the Bulwark Hall in Atlantic City. All right, let's get to my picks. You know, I just wanted to go through those because those, I felt there were two significant sports, a few significant sports events that took place yesterday and last night that I wanted to convey to you. But let's get to the picks. The first game we're going to up on the dais is the Cardinals versus the Falcons. On this thing here, the Cardinals are facing a pretty stiff. let me put it this way: it's an average, probably an average to a good matchup the Cardinals are facing against the Atlanta Falcons defense. Arizona. Quite naturally, it's got John Skelton at the quarterback and Lerod Howlings as the running back, who is going to be his last week. So let me put it this way, folks. If you're in dire need of a running back, this is not one of the things I like. I'm just giving you this information if you don't know already. Beanie Wells is healthy. He's not going to be playing this week, but he will be in the starting running back position for the Cardinals next week. So if you have a chance to grab Beanie Wells from a roster or and put him on your roster somewhere because you're in dire need of a running back, I'm not promising he's got a good schedule, but he's available and he'll be a starting running back, which is invaluable. You may not want to use him. You may not have to use him, but it's good to have him on your roster just in case one of your starting running backs happens to go down. You can insert Beanie Wells as a plan B option. That's just a need-to-know thing there. I'm going to try to add him on a few of my rosters if I can, just to see if just to make sure. You never know. I mean, he's there. If he's there, grab him. What's it going to hurt? If you have starting running backs, I would definitely put him on your roster, and then just wait and see. I mean, he's not going to be playing this week, that's for sure. But I can guarantee you he's going to be playing next week as long as he stays healthy. And his next week's opponent would be, St. Louis. Now, that's not a real stiff competition. St. Louis can be run on, and it's a home game. And his schedule going forward is not that bad. The last 2 weeks of the season are going to be tough, but he's got St. Louis in week 12. The New York Jets, who can be run on, in week 13. Seattle, who's not a real stiff defense, but can be a difficult defense to run on. Detroit in week 15, did it the last 2 weeks of the season, week 16 and week 17. If for those who go to week 17, he has Chicago in week 16 and San Francisco in week 17. So he's got a so-so schedule. Like I said, he may not be your starting running back, but in case you need him, he's sitting there waiting to be used after this week. Not this week. He won't be used this week. You go on the lineups, you'll see that he's out. Wait for next week. If you absolutely need a running back or something happens to one of your starting running backs this week. Anyway, like I said, let me go back to what I was talking about here. The matchup against Atlanta. offense. Now, as offense, Arizona's got a decent pass defense. They have a bad pass, rushing defense. So expect Atlanta, if they want to run the ball, they should be able to run the ball in this game. Anyway, LeVar Stevens Howling, I think him getting about 60 yards, maybe three, four catches, about 20 yards. He's decent play. He's a decent play. He's not a real good play, but he's a decent play in PPR if you don't have a Chris Johnson, AP, you can put him in as a running back too. Hopefully you have a better option for your running back one. But if you don't, you can put him in there. He's going to get you about a double-digit points. Don't expect high double-digit points. He's going to get you low double-digit points, 10 to 15 points, somewhere around there. That's not bad, but it's not real good either. So just expect that. The only other play, there's two more plays that should be nice in here because both these guys are getting about the same amount of targets quite naturally. Larry Fitzgerald's getting a little bit more, probably going to catch a little bit more here. He's going to probably catch about 5-6 catches, about 70, 80 yards, somewhere around there because Atlanta can be thrown on. And Andre Roberts, who is emerging as a decent option if you don't have a big-time wide receiver. And you have a group of middle receivers, well, this is a guy that you can pretty much depend on because most of the coverage rolls to Larry Fitzgerald and leave one-on-one coverage to Andre Roberts, and he can take advantage of that. So Andre Roberts, he's going to have about four or five catches, about 60, between 50 and 60 yards, somewhere around there. So that's double digits, in PPR. But you can't expect a lot from the Arizona Cardinals because of their quarterback situation. Skelton is not a big-time quarterback, or Kevin Cobb is not a big-time quarterback. Skelton's going to be playing today, but he's not going to be able to produce a lot of points. So they're limited by the quarterback play. On the other side, I see Matt Ryan throwing for about 300 yards in here. I really do. I think he's going to throw for about a couple touchdowns. Michael Turner better do something because I'm telling you, Michael Turner is doing his Michael Turner thing. He's slowing down, people. He's slowing down. Michael Turner's not a big – you call him the burner? Well, he's not the burner anymore. Every now and then he can spout something off against a very, 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 very weak defense. Arizona can be run on. That's true. Michael Turner had an ideal situation last week and only got, 13, 15 yards last week against New Orleans? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So, New Orleans is one of the worst defenses against the pass and the run, and he couldn't do squat. Are you kidding me? Anyway, he better do something here because there's another back that's up and coming that more or less fits the style of play that Atlanta is playing from the beginning of the year. And I'm talking about Jacquez Rodgers, okay? Now, like I said, Atlanta is 8-1? Eight and one, I think they are. Okay. Atlanta's 8-1, 7-1, whatever they are. Okay? 8-1. Understand something. As they get further into the season, closer and closer to the end of the season, and closer to the fantasy playoffs, Michael Turner may not be in there as much. Jacquez Rodgers may be in there. Jason Snelling may be in there. I think they view Jacquez Rodgers as a change of pace because he's a smaller back. But when he's in there, he's been proven to be able to run the ball effectively, and quite naturally, he can catch the ball very effectively. So if it was me, and if I was going to handcuff, and you should be handcuffing your big-time players, especially the teams that have those big-type running backs, you should be handcuffing him because these guys, more than likely near the end of the season, are start going to get less and less play. And the backups are going to get more play. So Jacquez Rodgers, between the two, Jacquez Rodgers and Jason Snelling, I would grab Jacquez Rodgers, to tell you the truth. Stash him on your bench. Don't do any, don't do anything unless Michael Turner gets hurt. You still have the handcuff. But just think about what's happening, especially if you're in position that you're going to be in the playoffs. cover yourself. This is the time that you start covering yourself and get rid of these backup positions that are wasteful on your bench and position yourself with players that are going to be backing up your players that you normally start. Anyway, you know you're going to start Tony Gonzalez, Roddy White, and Julio Jones. These guys, all three of these guys, are going to probably get into the end zone. That's the favorite targets for Matt Ryan, Gonzalez, Roddy White, Julio Jones. All probably going to get about 5 or 6, 7 catches because he spreads the ball around to these guys all the time because they're in the no huddle. And he's passing the ball a lot. So, So I see these guys getting into the end zone. Be wary of this. Julio Jones is probably going to be a game-time decision. I just thought of that. He's going to be probably a game-time decision because he's got an ankle issue. So check the injury list. Check the inactive and active list. If Julio Jones is a go, put him in there. He's going to be a risk because, like I said, he's got an ankle injury. But if he's a go, you got to go with him, okay? Let's move on because I took a lot of time for that one game. Let's go into Browns and Cowboys. Now, Cowboys get to this. They're at 500. And they're one game behind the Giants. And breathing heavy, and the Giants aren't playing well. Cleveland's going against a decent pass and rush defense, while Dallas is going against a tough pass defense, and Cleveland can be run on. So just understand that. Cleveland's on the road. I see Brandon Weeden. He's falling off the cliff a little bit, so I'm thinking he's going to throw between 230, 250 yards, somewhere around there, probably throw for a touchdown, and probably throw at least for one pick. I think they're going to be relying heavily on Trent Richardson to run this ball, absolutely. Josh Gordon has fallen off a little bit. He's not doing as much as he was. Greg Little has picked it up a little bit. There's really not too much goodness in here. Trent Richardson, if you have to play Josh Gordon, I would play Josh Gordon. If you're really, really stuck, I would play Greg Little, but I'm not too up on these guys at all. On the other side, Tony Romo plays very well. This is Tony Romo's month. This is Tony Romo's month. You got Tony Romo. This is the month to play Tony Romo. He's going to get about 300 yards, maybe a couple of touchdowns. Felix Jones should be able to run pretty well as long as he stays healthy. DeMarco Murray is not that far off. He may play the Thanksgiving Day game. If not, he'll play the week after that. But DeMarco Murray is not that far off, so this may be the last chance you get to really capitalize on Felix Jones. So put him in your lineup if you have him, if you don't have any other choice in the running back position. And let's hope Felix Jones gets in the end zone and rushes for 70, 80 yards at least and probably catches a couple, two, three passes for about 20 yards or so and gives you a nice 15, 16 point in the PPR game. Jason Witten, you know he's one of the BFFs of Tony Romo. I still like Austin Miles over Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant is inconsistent, highly inconsistent. I see Austin Miles being the out-and-out outstanding wide receiver this game and catching more balls than Dez Bryant. And that's how I see that. Let's move on to the Packers versus the Lions. Let me tell you something here. You got any of these players on here, and I've been trying like heck to get these players on either of these teams. Players on the Lions side. I do have Titus Young. Or on the Packers side, because I think this is going to be an old-fashioned shootout. I really do. They're playing in Detroit. So I think I'm not wrong in that. I think this is an ideal environment in the dome against two high-powered offenses with, in my opinion, mediocre defenses. Okay, Detroit's a little better against the run than Green Bay, but these are not stellar defenses. like in Chicago, like a San Francisco or Houston, they're not overall defenses that scare you. I mean, they're defenses, but they're not named defenses. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to throw for about 400 yards. Anybody who has Aaron Rodgers, consider yourself fortunate. He's had a week's rest, has weeks to retool things. Jordy Nelson's gotten healthy now. I see Aaron Rodgers going for 400 yards. Whoever has Aaron Rodgers, my family league, my brother, my older brother has him every week. Every week. Has him every year, I should say. Number one player he picks every year is Aaron Rodgers. We have a keeper league. That's his keeper. He'll never give up Aaron Rodgers as long as Aaron Rodgers is playing. He's going to throw for about 400 yards. About two touchdowns. Give you big-time fantasy points. Big time. There's a change in the guard and running backs. James Starks is going to be running. I don't think he's going to be running for that much. Probably about 60 yards, somewhere around there. Cedric Benson is probably 3 weeks away, 3 to 4 weeks away, about week 14, 15 around there. I think that's the target date that he's looking at. Near the end of the season, may be able to help you near the end of the playoffs if you get that far. But that's the deal with Cedric Benson. Jordy Nelson is coming back from a sprained ankle and a hamstring. He's supposed to be healthy. We'll see it if he is, because Aaron Rodgers is definitely going to be throwing to him, along with Randall Cobb and James Jones. They got some weapons, and even their so-called, I shouldn't say called, so-called, but even their number one receiver, Greg Jennings, who's been out, is still sitting on the sidelines, and these guys still putting up prolific numbers. So Jordy Nelson's probably going to get about six catches, about 80 yards. Randall Cobb and James Jones, about five or six catches, 50 to 60 yards, somewhere around there. I see these guys, all depends. See, they take turns. So one of these guys may get two touchdowns, or three of these guys may get a touchdown apiece. It's you never know. On the other side, Matthew Stafford, I see him throwing for about 300 yards in this game. I'm telling you, this is going to be a shootout. This is going to be a fantasy enjoyable in here. Let me put it that way. I can't think of the words, so I'll say that. I see him throwing for about two touchdowns. Mikel LeSure should be able to run the ball for about 70 yards. I see him running a touchdown in here. I do believe that's going to happen. I see Brandon Pettigrew heavily involved, because the big target that Matthew Stafford likes throwing to, five or six catches, 50 to 60 yards. Then we got the big boy, Megatron. Eight catches. He's going to go over 100 yards in there. I see him getting into the end zone. And this is a guy, this next guy, Titus Young. I know you've been talking about Ryan Broyles. I know Ryan Broyles. But Titus Young, he's on the other side. All this coverage is going to get it rolled over to Calvin. Titus is on there, a speed burner. Got speed on the south side. Calvin's a big, tall wide receiver. Titus Young is the smallest wide receiver, but he's got a ton of speed. I see Titus Young getting into the end zone. Four to five catches, 50 to 60 yards, and a touchdown in here. I like that a lot. Let's move on to the Bengals and the Chiefs. Okay. Let me tell you something, people. I keep telling you this over and over again, and I made the almost, I did it in one league, fatal mistake of benching your stud running back. And I say, regardless of the matchup, you got to play your running back. Well, I have Jamaal Charles in three leagues. Two of the leagues, I kept him in the lineup. One of them, I didn't. The one I didn't is the one game I lost. Jamaal Charles had over 100 yards and a touchdown against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Because of the last 2 weeks, prior 2 weeks that Jamaal Charles had, I got gun shy. Second thought, instead of going with my gut, going with I keep telling you, going with what I know, I second-guessed myself and said, I can't put him in here because I can't trust him. And a lot of other people were doing the same thing. Well, when he goes against Oakland, which is a good situation to run the ball, and he only gets five carries, and only gets 3 points, there's a problem. Let's go back to week six. Week six, he only had 12 carries for 40 yards. In PPR, that's only 6 points. Week eight, when he comes off the bye, you think he's rested. He got tweaked up a little bit in the Tampa game. You think he gets rested. He goes back against an ideal situation, against a division rival at home, and he only gets 5 carries, and he gets a total of 3 fantasy points in PPR. So, and then he comes back against another division rival on the road, and he only gets 8 fantasy points in PPR. So that's 3 weeks with a bye in between that Jamaal Charles didn't provide for you. Didn't help you in your fantasy teams. When the from week 3 to week 5, he had 44, 21, and 18 points in PPR in the league, one of the leagues I was in. So I second thought it. And that's the one I lost. In fact, it was so bad. Let me put it this way. I got lucky. I took him out of my starting lineup in 2 leagues. One of the leagues I was fortunate enough to win, or I kicked myself, and the other one I was unfortunately enough to lose because I kicked myself because I should have kept him in. My point is this. If you have a stud running back, stud wide receiver, stud quarterback, stud tight end, don't bench him because of the matchup. He just stood for a reason. Put him in there. At least you say, well, I put him in there because he's my top whatever in whatever position he is, especially a running back. That's key in a running back. Put him in there, and you expect him to perform. If he doesn't perform, you don't say I coulda, woulda, shoulda. It's better to have him in there and saying, well, I put my stud in there and he still didn't perform, versus them saying, I wish I had put him in there when I did have him in any other game. I took him out because I thought this defense was tough enough. When I kept on saying to you that Pittsburgh's defense and Baltimore's defense is only a name only, they're not the same defenses. And I went against my own trend. Anyway, I'm rambling on about this too much, and I'm not getting on with the games yet. 26 minutes left in this program, and I got over 10 games to go through. Bengals and the Chiefs. Bengals are on the road at the Chiefs, one of the worst places to play for a visiting team. Chiefs have a huge home field advantage. Bengals are going against an average rushing and passing defense. Kansas City is going against a very bad or a tough passing defense and has a good matchup in the run game. So what's that telling you? Andy Dalton should have a pretty decent day. They torpedoed and paced the Giants last week, and I think he can have a good shot at doing it here against the lowly Kansas City Chiefs, who've only won 1 game so far. 260 yards, throwing for at least a touchdown, probably for 2. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis is probably going to have a not a real good hard time, but he should be able to be running the football against the Kansas City Chiefs. Andy Dalton, young quarterback, got a nice big tall tight end. He's going to get some catches there. He's a good PPR. He's a good play for here, in my opinion. 4 or 5 catches, 40 to 50 yards. A.J. Green, that's going without saying, A.J. Green is a good play here. I'm telling you, he's a good play. 6 to 7 catches, 80 to 90 yards, and a touchdown. Andrew Hawkins, If you're in need of a wide receiver three, maybe a flex position. And the key here is that Andrew Hawkins gets enough targets. That's the key here, because Mohamed Sanu is starting to get some catches too. So I would say that Hawkins, about four catches, 40, 45 yards, somewhere around there. Not a lot, because like I said, Mohamed Sanu is started getting some touches here. Don't play Matt Castle. Don't even think about it. Jamal Charles is the play here, and quite naturally, if you have him, there's no way to get him on a waiver wire. It's too late to get him on trade for him, because his strength of schedule for the rest of the year is very favorable for a running back. Kansas City, definitely very favorable for a running back. So if you can trade for him, you're probably not going to get him on the cheap. But if you can package something that another team needs, you can get Jamal Charles two for one or something like that. Only other play here, and it's really not a good play. It's a silly, sketchy play, in my opinion, would be Dwayne Bowe. Matt Castle targets him more than a lot of the other players. That's why I'm saying he's a wide receiver too. If that, five catches, about 60 to 70 yards. Maybe a touchdown that gets thrown here, but Dwayne Bowe and Matt Castle combination are very inconsistent. Let's move on to the Rams versus the Jets. Rams being home, a dome team. Jets being pasted all over the place. Clown suit on front of New York papers is where the head coach of the Jets has been. Jets have a tough pass offense, I mean, tough pass defense to go up against, and a average rushing defense of the Rams. Rams, their passing defense that they're going up against the Jets is not what it used to be. It's not as tough as it used to be, and the Jets can't stop a running back to save their lives. So Steven Jackson and Darrell Richardson should have a field day, but should enjoy a good day. Mark Sanchez is I keep saying this over and week all over and again, that he's a turnover waiting to happen. Mr. Turnover, not Mr. Sanchez. never play him unless you have a 2 or 3 quarterback league, and it's a big league, and there's no other options, and you got to put a quarterback in a position. That's the only way you would put Mark Sanchez in there. Don't even think about it. Sean Green, he's an average runner. Against this defense of the Rams that doesn't play the run that well, they play the pass a lot better with Javaris Jenkins and Courtland Finnegan as the two DBs on the outside. So Sean Green should have a decent day running the ball. About 80 yards. I don't know how they're going to get down in the red zone, but if they do, Sean Green's got a very good chance of getting into the end zone in that way. Jeremy Curley is the only other option. Dustin Keller is a decent option. These two guys that Sanchez, when he does able to get the ball to someone, would be to Dustin Keller or Jeremy Curley. So Dustin Keller is going to about have 4 or 5 catches, about 40 to 50 yards. Jeremy Curley is probably going to have about the same thing. That's about it. I can't guarantee who's going to get into the end zone. I can't even guarantee if either one of these guys are getting in the end zone. Just the offense has been horrible. And Marty Schottenheimer, who used to be the offensive coordinator for the Jets, is on as the Rams' offensive coordinator. I'm telling you, he's going to try to run a score up on here. He's going to try to take full advantage of this opportunity. Sam Bradford has been playing well of late. And getting his He's got his BFF back, meaning Damian Amendola, who's been tearing up. He tore up last week, and he's going to be trying to tear up the Jets in this week. I see Amendola, 6 or 7 catches, about 80 yards. The problem with him, he has a hard time getting into the end zone. You got Brandon Gibson and Chris Givens. Now, Chris Givens, for the most part, up until last week, was getting at least 50-yard passes week in and week out. He fell off last week. I see him getting back, okay? This guy's got a ton of speed. He's a little undisciplined. He was suspended for breaking curfew. So he's a little undisciplined, like I said. Probably got a little full of himself because he was having such a good performance. And so the coach had to bring him back down to earth. I see this kid doing something in this game. I see this kid getting into the end zone. Long pass from Sam Bradford, touchdown, 40-yard pass. So if you're looking for a high-risk, high-reward player, I told you that the theme of this is a wild, wild west. St. Louis is in the west. I'm saying to you, Chris Givens, 40 yards, touchdown pass. He's going to get more yards than that, but I see him getting into the end zone. Steven Jackson and Daryl Richardson, I think these guys are going to be running all over the Jets with no problem. No problem. Steven Jackson is a very rough and hard runner. Daryl Richardson, a very quick and dynamic running back and receiving back. This combination is going to give the Jets fits. That's all I can say. Play Steven Jackson with confidence. With confidence. Going to the Colts versus the Patriots, a long-standing rivalry, minus Peyton Manning now. In place of Peyton Manning is Andrew Luck, who's been having, for the most part, pretty good success. Less success on the road, but this is against a weak pass defense in Indianapolis. New England. New England's a stronger run defense than they are pass defense. And I think Indianapolis is going to be able to pass the ball better than they're going to be able to run the ball. And I think New England's be able to do both, run and pass on the Indianapolis Colts. And this may turn out to be something of a shootout. Andrew Luck, I think, is going to throw for close to 300 yards in this game, at least a one touchdown pass. Donna Brown and Vic Ballard are going to be splitting the carries. I still like Vic Ballard. I think the kid still needs more touches. I think he still needs more experience in running the ball. It says to this, Donald Brown's been in the league in two, three years. Vic Ballard, he's a rookie. If they're sharing carries, what's that telling you, the ability of Donald Brown? That Vic Ballard is not that far off. All he needs is experience. I like Vic Ballard in this game, okay? I think he's going to do a little bit more than Donald Brown. Dwayne Allen's going to take over for Kobe Flinders, who's still dealing with a shoulder injury. And Dwayne Allen should be able to get about 4 or 5 catches, 40 to 50 yards against this defense. Aqib Talib, who got activated this week, who recently got put on the Patriots, is probably going to shadow Reggie Wayne all over the field. Well, Reggie Wayne, this should be a matchup, but I think Reggie Wayne's going to get the best of it. About 6 or 7 catches, 80 to 90 yards, probably get in the end zone. Reggie Wayne is a seasoned vet, and Andrew Luck leans on Reggie Wayne. Donnie Avery is the other one on the other side. Ton of speed, and he'd be able to get behind these DBs and catch a long pass or two. 4 catches, 50, 55 yards, 50, 60 yards, somewhere around there. And then they have there's another big play threat who plays in the slot. That's T.Y. Hilton. He's huge, huge speed guy. I see him getting about 3 or 4 catches, about 40, 50 yards. So this is going to be a passing game, more or less, not too much of a running game, even though I think both on the Patriots side, they're going to be running for a little bit more yardage than they are on the Indianapolis side. Anyway, Tom Brady's going to throw for 300 yards. He's going to get a couple touchdowns in here. Stephen Ridley is going to throw about 100 yards, probably get it in the end zone. Danny Woodley's been inconsistent. They've used him some games, and some games he's non-existent. So I really can't suggest you anything on Danny Woodhead. Aaron Hernandez is out. Okay, so that means those targets that Aaron Hernandez would get, some of them are going to go to Danny Woodley, and some of them are going to go to Gronkowski or Wes Welker. I see Gronkowski about 6 or 7 catches, 70 to 80 yards, getting into the end zone. Wes Welker, about the same thing, maybe getting into the end zone. Brandon Lloyd, about 4 to 5 catches, about 50 to 60 yards. I think the two guys that are going to catch the 2 Tom Brady passes, Gronkowski and Wes Welker. That's why I see that. All right, let's move on here. Eagles versus the Redskins with 13 minutes left in the program. We're going to be going over, like we always go over. We're going to finish this, and then I'm giving you guys players that I like. But I already gave you Beanie Wells, okay? I mean, we cross that off. But there's three, four players here that I have that I think are going to have pretty decent days. And it may not be on too many people's rosters, maybe sitting on a waiver wire, and maybe want to take a shot if you're in need, looking for a player, and you don't know which way to turn. I'm going to give you a few of them to turn to. Anyway, Philadelphia versus the Redskins in Washington D.C. Philly's up and going against a average pass and rush defense, and Washington's going up against a average pass and a tough rush defense. So that's telling me that both these teams are going to be able to run the ball. Philly's going to have a better chance of both these teams are going to be able to pass the ball, and Philly's going to have a tougher chance. Washington's going to have a tougher time running the ball, but I guarantee you Washington is going to run the ball, or trying to run the ball. Nick Foles is his starting debut. You had a little taste of him last week. Well, you're going to get a full-blown meal of Nick Foles this week because Michael Vick is not playing, and this you may have seen the last of Michael Vick this year because of his concussion issues. So stay tuned. I'm pretty sure people have picked up Nick Foles. They had Michael Vick on the roster, they were able to pick up Nick Foles, that's their quarterback. I think you're going to get a heavy dose of LeSean McCoy, 80 to 90 yards, and catching about three or four passes for about 20 to 30 yards, somewhere around there. But you're going to get a heavy dose of LeSean McCoy protecting the rookie quarterback. Drop back to pass, rookie quarterback's best friend, the tight end. So Brent Celek, I hope you have your game legs on because you're going to be involved in the offense this week. I almost guarantee it. If Brent Celek for some reason is sitting on your roster and you need a tight end, Brent Celek is your man to grab in this game. The Redskins can be thrown on. That's one of their biggest weaknesses. They can be thrown on. Okay? Brent Celek, 4 to 5 catches, 40, I'm saying 60 yards. I think he's going to get used a lot more than people think he's going to get used. The other two, Macklin's a short one. Deshaun is a long one. I think these guys both get about 4 or 5 catches, 50, 60 yards. I see Deshaun Jackson with his long speed getting behind the weak defense of the Washington Redskins and catch a long pass for a touchdown. But I do like both of these guys. If Nick Foles gets time to pass, which is very hard because he's a pocket passer against a weak offensive line that Philly has, I think he's going to have 250 yards and at least one touchdown pass, and I think it's going to go to DeSean Jackson. But both these guys should be able to rack up some decent yardage for some decent wide receiver positions that you have in your lineup. On the other side, RG3. I think RG3 may be have a little difficult because the defensive line of Philly, with that wide nine, RG3 may not have as much rushing room as he would like. I think he's still going to be able to run for about 60 yards because of his sheer speed. I think he's going to have a very low passing yardage, 220, 240 yards, somewhere around there. May throw for one of those touchdowns. To who? That's a good question. You got Santana Morris, Josh Morgan, and Leonard Hankerson. Not a stellar threesome of and Pierre Garçon if he plays. But he's hampered. So you can't guarantee how Pierre Garçon is going to play. All these wide receivers are tough plays in my opinion. If you have Pierre Garçon or if you grab them off the waiver wire, I'd wait and see because Garçon has been injury prone. He's had a little of a prolonged injury right now. Supposedly he's coming back from it. Wait and see how he plays. I know that's taking a chance, but you don't want to put Pierre Garçon in there and he only get 1 or 2 points because he aggravates his injury and then he doesn't play anymore. So in the game. So just see what happens. See if he's active first. I think he's more than likely he's probable to play, but there's no guarantee of that. So just see what happens with him, and if he plays, I wouldn't say start him with confidence. I would be a little skeptical on starting him for the simple fact is that he's coming off a prolonged injury, and you're not sure exactly what you're going to get from him because of the injury. So if he may have the burst that he had before, but there's no guarantee of that. Anyway, let's move on to the Buccaneers against the Panthers in Carolina. All right, Tampa's going up a good pass and rush defense versus Carolina going up against they should be able to pass on Tampa, but they're going to have a tough time running on Tampa. Josh Freeman should probably throw for about 250 yards, probably a touchdown, maybe two. Doug Martin should be able to run against this defense. He's been able to run against all the defense, so I see Doug Martin getting about 100 yards, but they're not going to be 100 easy yards, let me put it that way. These yards are going to be tough yards to grind out. This is a division game, and Carolina's run defense is not that bad. Vincent Jackson and Mike Williams are the two main targets for Josh Freeman, and I see Jackson getting about 5 catches, 80-something yards, and Williams about four or five catches, about 60 yards. Touchdown pass, I only said one touchdown pass. I would say Vincent Jackson, who's been a more consistent one. I wouldn't say more consistent one, but I like Vincent Jackson to get into the end zone here. On the other side, Carolina, what a mess. What a mess here, people. What a mess. Cam Newton has been very inconsistent, but they can throw against this defense. They can throw against this defense. It's not as good as it's been in the past. Excuse me. And he should throw about 250, 260 yards and one touchdown pass. You know, a few weeks ago, they said that Jonathan Stewart was going to be their bell cow. He was going to be the main man. Well, he may be in name only because they're doing the same old garbage they were doing before. They're sharing the load. I don't know why. Why did they don't give the ball to Jonathan Stewart and let him get into a rhythm and run the ball and use D'Angelo Williams or Mike Tolbert as a change of pace. Come on. I mean, you say one thing and you're doing another. Or you're doing the same old, I should say. You say one thing and you're doing the same old. If Jonathan Stewart gets a chance to run consistently, he'll be a top running back. He's got that ability. But when you start splitting carries, running backs need to get into some type of flow of the game, need to get a feel for what's going on. If you run in and out, in and out for a series running backs in there and he comes out, and the next play the other running backs, they can't get into a flow. They're just running plays. It's just they're not robots. So don't count on these guys until something shakes out, and it hasn't shaken out yet. Greg Olsen is a very good play here, extremely good play here. If you're in need of tight end, well, he's a good play. He should have been a good play all year because Cam Newton looks for Greg Olsen. He's like the only other consistent passing option Cam Newton has other than Steve Smith, who's going to get his stud numbers, 6 or 7 catches, 70, 80 yards, and probably getting in the end zone. So understand that. Let's move on to the Jaguars versus the Texans. Now, people, you're saying, really? Really, do we have to go and listen to this? Yeah, you have to listen to this for the simple reason of this. It's one of the games, for one. And they have relevant players in here that I need to talk about, and you need to get the information about. Jacksonville, quite naturally, is going up against one of the best defenses versus the pass and a run. And Houston should be able to pass on this Jacksonville defense and also run on it. So Arian Foster should have no problem. I'm not even going to even preface that by saying you should play him. Everybody knows you should play Arian Foster. I'm going to start with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and when I get to the Houston Texans, I'm not even going to mention Arian Foster. So don't even ask me, well, how come you didn't mention him? I shouldn't have to mention him because the fact is he's an every-week play. It's a no-brainer. It doesn't make a difference what defense you're playing. You play him, okay? Blaine Gabbert, no. All I can say is no. Don't play him. Rashad Jennings, 2.8, 2.5 yards per average. Come on, man. I picked him up thinking I was getting a jewel here, thinking I was getting somebody that was maybe not Maurice Jones-Drew, but this guy was you wouldn't get a huge drop-off in ability and huge drop-off in production as you have been getting. True, I must admit this. I must admit, since MJD was hurt, Rashad Jennings, and I'm just going to give you his matchup. He's not a stud running back. He's a good running back, but he's not a stud. But this is who he's been going up against. Now, after the bye, their week bye, they played Oakland. They played Green Bay. He's had a good game against Oakland. He's had a decent game against Green Bay. And before I go any further, we're going to be running overtime here. I got about 90 seconds left of live air time. Tune in next week, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Master Plan. I guarantee I'll give you some more picks. And also listen to Compassion Dakini on Tuesday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Change of pace show that Kim Fun has, and it's very informative, and I think you'll enjoy it. And then also on Thursday, I host a show which is called the FSP Cruise Show. I am, like I said, the host, along with my two co-hosts, Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker. We go over all sports, including the Thursday night games. I will be on Thursday night, Thanksgiving. I will be on, okay? If no one else is on, I'll be on, guarantee it. And Black Friday, No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor will be on that day also, talking politics. We had a heated conversation last week on politics, and we're going to be carrying it over for this Friday. So tune in, jump in, call in, and join the conversation. And then quite naturally, on Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, it'd be the FSP show, which was Vic Gardner, and I'm the co-host of that show. So tune into that show. We have a various array of shows that you would like, so tune in. Now we are in overtime. All right, let's talk about Rashad Jennings. Now, Rashad Jennings, like I said, they had a bye week in week six, and then he took over. And when he took over for Maurice Jones-Drew, he had a good week. Week seven, he had a decent week against Oakland. He had a decent week against Green Bay. And then he goes up against a fairly decent defense, which is Detroit, against the run. And he didn't fare so well. And then, but he even fared even worse against a very weak opponent, which is the Indianapolis Colts. Now, I have to attribute to this to the failings of the quarterback and the play calling of the offensive coordinator. If you have a offense that with limited ability and limited ability, you have to be more creative in being able to get your better players in positions that will be able to exploit the defense. Not run the traditional plays because they won't work. If you have a very weak quarterback, the defense is going to give you 8-9-man fronts. So the running back, if you're relying on him, is not going to be able to run the ball because there will not be any holes there. So you have to use your running back in a more creative way. Dump passes, little flat passes out in the flat, get him out in the space, let him run that way. Make those your running plays. Don't do the traditional. Every now and then you have to, but don't do the traditional because they will not work. I think that's what's been the problem here from what I've seen. I've seen the games, and I've seen the play calling, and I'm not too happy with it. After this week, he has a more favorable schedule. I know Maurice Jones-Drew is looking down the road at a couple of weeks. So week 13, week 14, Maurice Jones-Drew supposedly is to be back. But I'm saying to you this, Rashad Jennings, as long as he's a running back, after this week, he plays Tennessee, who has a very weak run defense. He plays Buffalo, who has a very weak run defense. He plays the Jets, who has a very weak run defense. Now, true, Miami and New England, which is week 15, week 16, are better. But at least you get a better chance at this guy than what you have been getting. Don't give up on this guy because of what's in the past. Don't make the mistake. Now, he's in a different class than Jamaal Charles, but the same scenario is playing out here. A couple of weeks, the running back hasn't been playing well. People lose faith in him. People drop him. I'm not doing that because I see what's up ahead of this guy, and I think he can perform. It's just a matter of giving him the right situation and putting him in the right situation to be able to exploit his skills. So that's all I'm saying. Anyway, let's move on and talk about this. Seasonal shorts has been coming up of late. I think that's about the only really decent play. Laurent Robinson is shaky. This whole offense is the worst offense in football. So the worst scoring offense in football. So it's hard for me to recommend anybody on this team. If I was to play anybody, it would be Cecil Shorts and take a chance on Rashad Jennings. That's it. On the other side, like I said, I'm not going to mention the running back, the main running back here, Matt Schaub. You know, I've looked at a few places where and they say Matt Schaub is not a decent player here because he hasn't played well against Jacksonville. Well, every year is different. Every year is different, and I think Matt Schaub, this is the scenario here. I think they're going to run the ball with Arian Foster. I think they're going to throw the ball as much as they can and try to run the score up first. So that gives Matt Schaub a chance to get his stats in, 250, 260 yards and a touchdown pass going to Andre Johnson, who's going to get about 6 or 7 catches, 80 yards. Owen Daniel, if he plays, and it's looking like he may, let me just check this right now. and see if he is going to play. Give me a minute here. Deal with Owen Daniels is... He's expected to play. So he's one of Matt Schaub's favorite targets, and I see him getting about five catches, about 50 yards. So he's a good play here. He's definitely a good play in this game. All right, let's move on to the Saints and the Raiders. Now, I expect this to be a shootout. What else is new when it has to involve the Saints? Both these defenses are not that good at all. Against the run, against the pass. Oakland's a little better against the New Orleans is a little better against the run, but not much better. So trust me when I say this, Drew Brees, even though he hasn't performed as well as he does in the dome at home, he's still going to be able to perform. I think he's going to throw for about 300 yards and a couple touchdowns. it's a toss-up on who's going to get the most work here. Darren Sproles is supposed to be back in the mix. Don't know how much. I would think Darren Sproles, I don't know. He's playing with a broken hand. He's playing with a broken hand, and his main use is to catch the ball. And he's playing with a broken hand. So what can you expect from that? I'm thinking he's a flex play at best, and expect the lower side of him being a flex play. Quite naturally, you got to play the three wide receivers. Well, he is a wide receiver. I know he's listed as a tight end, but they use him as a wide receiver. I'm talking about Jimmy Graham, Marcus Colson, Lance Moore. The first two I named about six or seven catches, about 70-something yards apiece, and both of them I see get into the end zone. That's how it's been going. Lance Moore, four or five catches, 50 to 60 yards, and he may get into the end zone. I see the other two guys definitely getting into the end zone. On the other side, Carson Palmer has been a QB1 for the longest. I don't know why you haven't picked him up. I think I mentioned him a few weeks back, especially against the strength of schedule against the quarterback. Oakland's about one of the best, including their running game. Oakland's running game, Oakland's passing game, and Oakland's quarterback. Strength of schedule favors these guys are either at the top or near the top in all three categories. So if you can get one of these two, three players I'm going to name, you should try to grab them. Two of them may not be on the cheap. The other one may be. You may be able to get him in a package or whatever. Carson Palmer is a QB1, hands down. He's been playing his ass off, thrown for astronomical yardage. Trust me when I tell you that. He's going to throw for about 280 yards, a touchdown. He's unfortunately good for at least one interception in his games. I see him throwing for at least one touchdown, maybe two in his game. It's going to be a shootout, people. There's going to be a lot of scoring here because none of these defense can really stop each other. Darren McFadden, Mike Goodenson are not playing. Marcel Reese, fullback, is playing. He's rushing and catching, and mainly catching. He's a heck of a receiver. He used to be a wide receiver in college. Excuse me. So he's going to be racking up more PPR receptions than they're rushing. So I see him getting about six or seven catches, about 50, 60 yards. More than likely, he may not get into the end zone. The guys that may get into the end zone is the wide receiver, Denarius Moore. I see him getting about 50, 60 catches. And there's nobody in the Saints that can keep up with the speed, especially these guys at home, keep up with the speed of this guy at home. He's got blazing speed, and Carson Palmer likes throwing to him a lot. He's been talking. Carson Palmer, when he first came to the Raiders last year, was talking about this guy. Took him a while to get back on the field. This year, he likes this kid a lot. Trust me. So he's going to throw the ball a lot to him. Brandon Myers is a tight end one. I've been talking about Brandon Myers for a while, and he's been coming through for me. He scored a touchdown or two in the last few weeks. I like him a lot in this game. He's coming back from a concussion. Supposedly he's going to play, so play Brandon Myers. four or five catches, about 50 yards. That's his average. Lately, he's been getting to the end zone, but he's good for double-digit points in PPR. He's good for him. Four or five catches, 50 to 60 yards. That's his norm. That's not the exception. That's his norm. Carson Palmer likes throwing to Brandon Myers, likes to bail him out, Carson out, bail him out. Brandon Myers in the middle of the field is Carson Palmer's bailout. Darius Heyward-Bey, he's got a hamstring. Don't know exactly how, if he's going to play or not. It's up in the air. Let me see if I can get some information on that for you and see if Darius Heyward-Bey is going to be playing. I think they listed him as questionable. Where the heck is he at? Oh, there he is. He's going to be a game-time decision. So you're going to have to wait and see. If you have a better option, which I hope you do, then you play him and just sit Darius Heyward-Bey and hope that better option gives you the same points that Darius Heyward-Bey would if he plays. All right, let's move on to the Chargers versus the Broncos. I told you I was going to give you some players. I'm giving you one now. I'm giving you one straight up. Straight up, I'm giving you one now. Ryan Matthews, okay, hasn't been performing that well, and he's dealing with the neck issue. I'm putting myself out on a limb here and doing this. And let me just look at this first and make sure I'm right about this before he's listed as questionable for week 11. He had limited practice on Friday. So he may be a game time decision, or he may play for a short time and then, because of his issues in his back, neck, sit out the rest of the game. If you're desperate for a running back, and only if you're desperate for a running back, and you don't have any other choice, either on a bye, your other guys in your roster are hurt, or you really don't even want to even think about them, and you don't have Jackie Battle as Ryan Matthews' handcuff. Oh, you have Jackie Battle as Ryan Matthews' handcuff. This is a stretch now. I'm stretching out here. Play Jackie Battle. Okay? Play Jackie Battle. They use Ronnie Brown on passing downs. Play Jackie Battle. I know this is a stretch. I know you're saying, what the hell is he talking about? Sit him down for Ryan Matthews. Ryan Matthews hasn't been playing well. He's dealing with neck issues. He's injury prone as it is. Can you trust Ryan Matthews? Do you honestly think Ryan Matthews is going to play well this week? When in the past, he hasn't been playing well, and now he's dealing with a neck issue. Do you feel comfortable? If Ryan Matthews is one of your running backs, do you feel comfortable in playing him? I know he's going up against one of the middle of the road run defenses in Denver, okay? But I would play Jackie Battle. If you one of your other running backs that you have an option on is playing on the 4 o'clock game, by 3:30 you should know whether Ryan Matthews is playing, and then you can insert Jackie Battle on there. If not, or if you have another option other than Ryan Matthews, because I'm telling you, I have a funny feeling Ryan Matthews is not going to play that well in this game. It's not a run-of-the-mill, easy defense to run against anyway. So you're taking a chance playing Ryan Matthews with a stiff neck who's injury-prone. Being that said, let's move on to Antonio Gates, who's been playing lights out. Let me go to Phillip Rivers. A lot of projections I've seen saying don't play Phillip Rivers, a bad matchup. He had a bad game against Denver the last time. I think he's going to make amends. He's playing a little bit better, even though he screwed up last week against Tampa Bay. He's playing a little bit better than he had been playing earlier in the year. So I like Phillip Rivers in this game. I think he's going to throw for 260, 270 yards and a touchdown. He's going to throw well to Antonio Gates. He's going to have a nice day here. Along with another pick I like, another projection saying don't play him. Okay, you got Denario Alexander, Malcolm Floyd, not Robert Meacham, Malcolm Floyd and Antonio Gates. And Denario Alexander is taking over from Robert Meacham. So Robert Meacham is an afterthought. So Champ Bailey is going to be on one of these guys, okay? You think Denario Alexander is not going to have a good day? I think he likes a lot of projections saying that he's not going to. I'm telling you, you got Denario Alexander, you should play him. I would play him. I guarantee I would play him. I think he's going to get into the end zone. I really do. 4 or 5 catches, about 50, 60 yards, and an end zone catch. That's a nice day for a wide receiver. I think that is. I think Malcolm Floyd, I think this is going to be somewhat of a shootout. Two quarterbacks with decent wide receivers. Hell yeah. Most of the time, playing against a prolific quarterback like Peyton Manning, the other team does have put up big numbers because they have to keep up. So Peyton Manning is going to about another 300-yard game, two touchdown passes. He's playing at home. Willis McGahee, he's had fumbling issues. Here's another AFC West player that I'm telling you to look at. Maybe not play today, but to look at. In fact, if you have room on your roster, I talked about it before, playing players near the end of the season because the main players, the studs, especially running backs, favored for the playoffs. I'm telling you, Ronnie Hillman, they like this kid a lot. A lot they like this kid. Willis McGahee's had issues. If he gets hurt, Ronnie Hillman's going to be taking over. If he keeps fumbling, Ronnie Hillman's going to take over because this kid is a dynamic player. He's got quick legs, young legs. So pick up Ronnie Hillman, put him on your bench, stash him, sit him there. He may be doing well. Joel Dressen has been playing better than Jacob Tammy. Joel Dressen, if you need a tight end, is a good play here. I like Joel Dressen in here. And then quite naturally, these two young stud wide receivers, Demetrius Thomas and Eric Decker, even though Decker had a bad day last week, every wide receiver, every one of these players, including quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs, tight ends, everybody, for the most part, have a bad week. Decker had his bad week last week. I expect him to make amends this week. He's going to have a good week, along with Demaryius Thomas, about 5 or 6 catches. Demaryius Thomas probably get the most yardage, about 80, 90 yards. Decker gets about 60, 70 yards, but he gets more targets in the red zone than Demaryius Thomas. So I like Eric Decker a lot also, and I've been talking him up quite a bit. Let's move on to the last two games, Ravens versus the Steelers, which happens to be a Sunday night game. Flacco plays better at home than he does on the road. Baltimore is facing a tough run and pass defense, even though I tell you that I don't like Pittsburgh's rush defense. They've been playing a little bit better, but not what you consider the stellar defense of Pittsburgh because they're missing some players. And even when they were missing the players, they weren't playing that well. And quite naturally, you know, Baltimore is not that stellar defense like it used to be. Both these defenses are older, slower, and doesn't do as well as they used to do in the past. That's the reason why Joe Flacco should have a decent day. He's playing on the road. So Joe Flacco is not going to have a decent day. Historically this year, he hasn't played well on the road, and I don't think he's going to play well on the road here. 250 yards, maybe a touchdown pass. Ray Rice, he plays all right against Pittsburgh. I see him getting about 60, 70 yards and a touchdown, about 4 or 5 catches, about 20, 30 yards, somewhere around there. Torrey Smith, I think he's going to get behind the defense, get about four or five catches and a touchdown, 60 to 70 yards. Anquan Boldin is going to be intermediate guy, about four or five catches, about 50 yards. Torrey Smith and Ray Rice both get in the end zone. Ray Rice probably be running the ball. Torrey Smith probably catching the ball. That's how I see that. On the other side, Big Ben's not playing. He's hurt. So in comes Mr. Big Windup, Byron Leftwich. Big arm, big long delivery. But people say that's going to hinder Mike Wallace's performance. I don't think so. Byron Leftwich has a big arm. Mike Wallace and Emmanuel Sanders have a ton of speed. So what's that equate to? Deep balls down the field on a weak secondary of Baltimore equals touchdowns. Mike Wallace gets in the end zone, 5 to 6 catches, 60 to 70 yards, and a touchdown. Heath Miller, I don't know if Byron Leftwich is going to throw Heath Miller as much as Big Ben does. He's probably going to catch about 4 or 5 catches, about 40 to 50 yards, somewhere around there, I think. They're still going to try to get him involved. Nathaniel Brown is not playing. He's dealing with a high ankle sprain. Forget that. And Emmanuel Sanders, about 4 to 5 catches, about 50 yards, somewhere around there. All right, let's move to the marquee Monday night game. Another tough game for the Bears. Bears versus the 49ers. Odd thing here. Both these starting quarterbacks last week got knocked out of their respective games. And Jay Cutler is definitely out. So Jason Campbell is going to be playing in his place. And Alex Smith is still up in the air if he's going to play or not. Let me just check to see if I got any information on Alex Smith playing or not. Let me do this. Does it have any information here? In any case, I wouldn't play Alex Smith in this week anyway, unless you're absolutely in dire need of playing a quarterback, because Alex Smith or Colin Kaepernick, in my opinion, won't do well against this defense, this real tough Bears defense. The plays here are not the quarterbacks. The plays here are, you got to play these guys because they're your studs. You got to play Frank Gordon. You got to play Matt Forte. I think these guys are probably relatively going to get the same amount of yardage, about 60 to 70 yards, somewhere in that frame of yardage. I think the only way they're going to be able to move the ball or try to move the ball is through the air. Brandon Marshall is going to get targeted a lot regardless because that's the only option they have, about 6 or 7 catches, about 80 yards, 80, 90 yards. On the other side, they're going to spread the ball around, probably get Vernon Davis a little involved, Crabtree involved. Really not that much goodness here, okay? Well, that's it. I also wanted to give you another guy, and this guy is on the Oakland game, all right? Well, let me put it this way. First of all, in this Pittsburgh, you know, I neglected to give it to you, and I'm sorry, I apologize. In the Ravens-Steelers game, Rashard Mendenhall is coming back. I don't expect too much from Rashard Mendenhall in this game. I really expect more because they're going to use a running back by committee type of thing, but the one running back that I like in here, and a lot of people may not like, but I like him, is Jonathan Dwyer. He's been performing a little bit better than Isaac Redman has, and Rashard Mendenhall is coming off an extended injury, so they may not use him as much as people may think, and they may lean more heavily on Jonathan Dwyer. So if you're in need of a player, a running back, and you're reaching, I wouldn't say reaching for the fences, but you're taking a risk. Jonathan Dwyer is not a bad risk to take. If you're reaching for a running back, I told you already, Jackie Battle is a shot because of a shaky Ryan Matthews. If you're reaching for a running back, there's another one who's playing in the Oakland New Orleans game. I told you before, Tyrone Jones is not too well thought of right now. Their confidence level is not there. So the backup guy to Marcel Reese is Jeremy Stewart. He's going to be doing the rushing for the most part. I mean, they're going to give Marcel Reese some rushes, but Marcel Reese is forte is catching the ball. So Jeremy Stewart could be a viable option for you. Remember that. Okay, and I also gave you Denario Alexander. I know in a lot of projections, you look in the projections of Yahoo, you look in the projections of CBS, you look in the projections of NFL.com, you look in the projections of ESPN. They all say sit Denario Alexander. They all say he's not going to produce that much. You know what? I don't pay attention to so-called experts. A lot of the players I've given you when I've talked to you on TV, if you go to these programs after I get off, they're mentioning the same players. But I've mentioned to you before. Oh, I mentioned to you a week ahead of time. So remember what I'm saying. I don't pay attention to experts. I do my own research and look at the numbers and look at the possibilities of players being in certain scenarios, and that's why I'm giving you the players that I'm giving you. I missed last week, and that was the first week I've missed since the beginning of the season. I've missed last week. I'm trying to make amends for you this week, and hopefully I do. With that being said, that brings to the conclusion of my show for today. I hope you have a good fantasy day and night, and also Monday night. I want to wish you all a happy Thanksgiving. I will be on the FSP Crew show on Thanksgiving, and look forward to that, watching all the games that are on Thanksgiving. With that being said, I already told you to tune in to all the shows that we have on this this site, and I'm going to end the show with this.
Give him a red alert. Tell him I need him. Tell him it's time to work. Tell him I'm home. Thinking of my profits. Going out in the world to teach knowledge to the brothers and sisters that don't know about the mother. About the right way to go. Stop them from selling out. Teach them what pride is all about. Go out and tell them it's time to take a stand. YG.